Okay. For us, we just get, want to just jump right in and have fun tonight, and we'll see how long it goes.
Sounds good.
And in 3, 2...
I'm Rene Perez, director of the Playing With Dolls movies, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
So what you try to be, your individuality. When the world is on your shoulders, just smile and let it go. If people try to put you down, just walk on by, don't turn around. You only have to answer to yourself. Don't you know it's true what they say? That life, it ain't easy, but your time's coming around. So don't you stop trying.
Don't stop, never give up. Hold your head high.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Comic Pop Visits brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jacob.
And in today's episode, we're going to be visiting with Rhonda Rees again. She's been kind enough to come back and visit with us. So, Rhonda, thank you very much for doing that with us.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me back.
To begin with, we started off last time about some of your PR ventures that you do yourself with the Piracy on Literacy. But tonight, we are going to shift. And we're going to be talking about Rhonda Rees's book entitled Profit and Prosper with Public Relations, Insider Secrets to Make You a Success. And we'll probably get into a little bit of the piracy, too, as we visit. But we're going to mainly concentrate on Rhonda's book that she has available for everybody to purchase. Either I think you still have some copies on your website, and you, I think you can still get them through Amazon and other vendors. So
yes, and the e-book version is very easy to get on Amazon as well.
Okay. So all the e-readers out there, that might be something you might want to do. And she's been in the field for several years now. She's an award-winning public relations. You're kind of independent now, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. I started off working at a public relations agency for 10 years. And then after that time, I decided to branch out on my own. So ever since, I've been independent.
Okay, so you really know what it's about to scratch around and make sure you have some funds for to live by. But she is an award-winning. A lot of her things she's done has been with authors, celebrities, Fortune 500 companies, manufacturers, attorneys, politicians, nonprofits. She's been instrumental in several PR campaigns that have garnered several media coverage, including newspapers, magazines, all over the place, radio, television, and on the internet. And she's kind of hitting the internet really with your campaign against internet piracy and digital piracy in the literature. And like I said, we'll get in touch, or we'll touch base on that as well. But do you want to, what kind of catch us up on what you've been doing here lately before we jump off into your book, Rhonda, because I know it's been about 7 months or so since we visited last. So what have you been up to lately?
Well, I've continued on the fight for the online book piracy awareness PR campaign. I've been speaking to groups and organizations, and I did a special Check Your Books campaign in the month of April to coincide with World Book and Copyright Day and World IP Day. So that was something interesting, and the fight continues, and the rest of the time I've been spending it with my PR business.
And with everything that's been going on, you've probably been fairly busy because that business never ends.
Yeah.
One of the things, you do have an extensive career. You've seen a lot of changes over the years. What's some of the things, just to start us off with, that you wish could kind of be the same, and then what you're glad did change?
Well, that's a very, very good question. And, you know, society has changed so much since I entered the PR field. I hate to say this, but when I got my start, we were using typewriters and liquid whiteout and on occasion carbon paper. So obviously things have evolved to fax machines, internet, social media today, and all these new technologies with the telephones and the text messaging and the apps and you name it. So basically, I'm kind of an old-fashioned person by nature, and I seem to appreciate the way things used to be in some ways, because back then I think it was much easier for us to pitch the media by getting on the telephones and actually talking to a live person and not getting stuck in a lot of voicemail and that kind of thing. But on the other hand, social media has made things so global, and the internet especially, and it's just amazing what you can do with the flick of a button and get your communications out and also reach people. One thing I have noticed that's changed quite a lot is that if you look at a news broadcast today, oftentimes it's shot by people with their cameras on their cell phones, and they're actually on the scene at a crime or a fire or a disaster or what have you, and you're turning on the news and you're watching the footage from just an amateur person, but they sometimes have a much better perspective on things.
And with everything that's happening, you talked about the one click and everything's all out there. We've kind of been trapped in this ourselves. It's a wonderful tool, but for us, it's kind of it's a blessing and a little bit of an entrapment as well, because it's taken a little bit of time to get back with you, because we've been fortunate enough to have people recognize us and send us several things. And one of the things that we really are stressed on is the authors that send us books, because it does take us a little longer on that. The music end of it and the movie end of it and comics, those are fairly fast. But the novels, we really have to, you know, tell the authors that, you know, this will take a little bit more time. We appreciate everything you're doing, but bear with us. We will get to you. And sometimes I know that makes the authors frustrated. So it's one of those where we're wanting to do the PR for everybody and get everything out there to help people out. But like you said, that technology end of it just makes everything so much faster that I'm kind of like you. It's kind of like, well, it'd be nicer to do it the mail way. That way we have a little bit more time to look at stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know something, Richard? I actually admire you guys there at Comic Pop, because you actually take the time and you actually go through people's books and works, and you really read everything. And that's a rarity in this day and age, because we're in such an instant society. They want something yesterday. People's attention spans. I took a class on social media for business, and the instructor showed us a quick video that literally said that I think everybody today has the attention span of a goldfish. So,
if not faster.
Yeah. So the thing is, you know, for you to actually take your time and really dive into the books, I greatly admire that.
And like I said, one of the things, we're very appreciative, so I don't want to put that out there that we're not. So thank you, everybody that's done that. You've used us, so we want to definitely keep those relationships going and help out anybody we can, because that's what it's all about, is helping out everybody and creating relationships and having fun. So
yeah.
With the public relations end, I've kind of jumped into it. What's the perception of public relations today, where if somebody's going into it, what can they expect today? Because we know you've talked about some of the past things and some of those elements, but when you're just jumping into it, what would you say is the meat of public relations?
Are you referring to jumping into it as a client or as a PR specialist that's actually performing the public relations?
That's true. It could go two different ways, can't it?
Yeah.
Well, let's start off with your book's actually concentrated on a professional in the public relations field. So let's start with that end of it first, and how a person in that field would expect things to be now.
Well, you know, obviously, nowadays, just to give some background, public relations is barely 100 years old. And when the profession first started out, it was made up of a lot of male journalists and reporters and things like that that kind of segued into getting into the PR field. But today, the women outnumber the men in the industry. And so things that the way women think a lot with communication and certain management styles and you name it, are come into play now in ways that they didn't maybe do so much in the old days. But it's a situation where obviously the technology, as we said, really rules how this work is being done. And things are getting invented probably as we speak, because if you look back 10 years ago, a lot of the technologies and the ways that we communicate right now weren't really so much in use. And so I think it's kind of keeping up with the Joneses and with any profession. But with social media, I'm not going to say it's phased out a lot of the PR that we used to do, but it's changed the way that we do things. And nowadays, I think it's very difficult to get responses back from people. And you know, when we used to have, let's say, just a telephone or just simple kinds of communications, I think people got back to people. But nowadays, there's so many different ways of communicating and getting a hold of somebody, which is crucial in PR. But for some reason, I've talked to other colleagues in PR, and we're all having kind of a rough go of getting return calls, getting return messages, making, and a lot of what we do is making these relationships through our communications and getting commitments. And so it's become a real challenge for a professional PR person to be as effective as we once were.
And is that, I guess, would that be because, I mean, with the invention of something like Twitter, you know, you see now all these giant announcements that would normally, I'm guessing, be done through a PR firm, and they would, you know, like NBA free agents, cause, I mean, that just wrapped up, you know, some of those guys are announcing where they're going to play for a new team on Twitter.
Right.
As opposed to where, I'm guessing in the past, it'd be they'd go to their PR person, they say, hey, I've made a decision, we need a press conference tomorrow at 10 a.m. And I'll announce then, where, you know, Kevin Durant, for instance, put his announcement on Twitter before there was any other kind of announcement. So, I mean, does that, I don't want to say, I mean, it doesn't really phase the PR people out, but I mean, is that what you're talking about, where that could be a rough go of things, where it's kind of one of those things, or?
Yes, you know, that's very, very true. And because of the advent of Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and even LinkedIn and you name it, I hate to say that it's phased out a lot of the public relations, but when we used to do our work maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago or more, there was a little bit more of a mystique to it. And now everybody and their brother can kind of put out their own announcements quicker and faster, and without spending any money hiring a PR person or agency. But you know, PR is still highly, highly valuable, because there's a lot more to it than what you might get on Twitter with 140 characters or less. And obviously, they're changing the rules with Twitter. But it's a good thing to complement the traditional public relations that has always worked and proves its test of time. But now, one thing that you were mentioning with Twitter that's interesting, and I know you have an interest in politics, is that in this particular election, I think you've noticed that Donald Trump, for example, relies quite a lot on Twitter messages, and he uses Twitter very frequently.
Yes, he does. And I mean,
you know, I don't know if that's such a good thing for him or a bad thing for him, because it can go either way. But, you know, elections passed, obviously we didn't have this. And with the Obama election some years back, they did a huge grassroots campaign utilizing the newer technologies in ways that we had never seen it used before. And that actually helped him win the election.
Yeah, I mean, because Yeah, the Obama administration really turned things kind of on its head, especially, everybody knew in 2012 he was going to run for re-election. I mean, what?
Right.
The only sitting president I can think of in the modern era that hasn't run for re-election was Lyndon Johnson in 68. So, you know, but even that big announcement that they had, you know, it was just a big picture that, you know, just said in. And I think they released that on Facebook, if memory serves. I mean, I'm sure they put it on Twitter as well. But, you know, so much now, political, you know, they run everything, especially their grassroots things through Twitter, because it's so simple. You know, they send out a tweet, I hit the retweet button, and now all of my followers that may not be following him, they get to see it. And so, I mean, would they bring in a PR person to help... I mean, I don't know if you'd say craft the tweet, but, you know, just to say, okay, you know, we want to run a grassroots campaign. How can we use Twitter to help us do that?
Well, as mentioned, public relations companies and individuals and departments of institutions and things, they rely a lot on social media to complement the overall PR effort. But a lot of times in public relations, we specialize, if you want to look at the traditional PR, as I mentioned before, is that we specialize in obtaining, let's say, feature articles in magazines, newspapers, online, getting people on radio and TV talk interview shows, even speaking engagements, and sometimes, obviously, they do it with webinars these days rather and seminars and things rather than the straight speaking engagement that we used to do, or sometimes they do it that way too. But all of these aspects of PR that I've mentioned really... it's complementary to the social media effort, because sometimes, you know, social media can happen ahead of time to create a buzz. Let's say if you have a new book coming out or something like that, and you want to build momentum with your followers and you name it, it's sometimes a wise idea to get the social media going first and then start with then get into the traditional media or vice versa, depending upon what you have in mind. But as I say, they kind of work hand in hand in tandem as a complement to each other. But in this day and age, if you don't engage in social media, it would make it a lot harder to get your message out just by relying on traditional media.
Now, with an established person, that's easy to do. Their brand is already out there. They're already marketable. But for somebody just starting out, unless you just one of those fortunate few that hit and go viral, they can do a grassroots campaign, but to a degree, they still would want to go to a PR company to get some assistance if they can. I know some people, they are forced to go to that route because they don't have the funds, but if they're able to, it would help you tremendously if you could get some guidance. Is that how you see that?
You know, with public relations, we are trained very carefully on how to write really good copy. We specialize in writing press releases or pitch letters or putting together press kits, materials, background, collateral materials, and things like that. And a lot of PR people have real good training in journalism. And one thing that I've noticed that's really shifted and changed a lot is that when people write articles for blogs or on social media in any capacity, they don't always necessarily dot all the I's and cross the T's and have the right grammar. And when you're representing a company, you want to reflect a real professional message. And so it's really probably a very good idea to hire a professional pro that really knows how to sell the company properly and can write it in language that the audience will respond to. I've seen certain things that get by on social media that we'd get in a lot of trouble for in let's say a college class in journalism, because the grammar, the spelling, the punctuation isn't quite up to par. And with journalism, there's some very high standards, and traditional PR people have been trained to meet those high standards because, and you know, obviously if they don't get it right the first time, they submit it to an editor through a press release, and the editor will help correct the copy so that by the time that it comes out there in a magazine or newspaper or something like that, it's written really professionally.
And you kind of mentioned some of the key factors when somebody's looking at a PR campaign that's just starting out. Excuse me, just to mention those real fast, you have to know what your budget is, have to know who you're going to be shipping it, you have to know who you're going to be talking to, or in other words, your audience, and what are your goals? Are you wanting to stay small, or you want to be big? Our goals personally is just having fun and meeting different people, but there are some people that are wanting to make careers out of this. What's some of the ways that they can make a splash in the media to get the media's attention? You kind of mentioned the PR company writing letters, but are there other areas where you kind of tell them which direction to go first?
Well, yes. One of the most important things is to come up with the right PR angle or hook. And there's a real art form in how to do such a thing. One thing I'll kind of review and repeat a little bit of what you just said is that, yes, you have to know your budget. And what I mean by that is that the public relations media coverage is actually free. It does not cost any money to get on a talk show, or it doesn't cost money to get a feature article in a magazine, let's say. However, it does cost certain money to hire a PR person for their time and expertise and know-how to get that to happen for you. So that's primarily what I'm talking about with a budget. You have to know your audience. Who is it you are trying to reach with your unique message? What is their age level? What are their gender? What is the demographics of this group? Are they the YA, the young adult market? Are they seniors? Are they do they have special likes or musical tastes or the way they dress or whatever? You have to be aware of who your audience is. What geographic areas will be covered? Is this campaign going to be local to your general local area? Is it going to be national, where you're going to cover different states, for example? Is it going to be international, where you might get your message out to various countries? So these are all very important questions to ask. But once you have that determined, then coming up with the right angle or hook is really very important. And if you guys don't mind, I can read a little something from my book that really illustrates about how to get the right angle or hook about something. Could I read a little something?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, well, figuring out the angle is one of the most important, if not the most important, aspects of effective public relations. It can be considered the very life force for most campaigns. From the get-go, it's vital that the PR person come up with the right PR angle or hook that will ignite the interest of the media and will help you gain coverage. So now I will illustrate an example that I actually use that is something that I speak to different audiences about when I talk about how to do PR to professional groups and organizations and businesses. But I once represented a vocal coach who wanted to gain publicity and attract more clientele. She mentioned that her aim was to help people break down their inhibitions while teaching them how to best use their voices. And when she first approached me, I thought her situation was a dime a dozen. In other words, I was sure that there were many singing teachers out there, and frankly, I didn't really see anything too creative or unusual about her services. She didn't have a book or a tape to market either. So naturally, I was convinced that she was going to be a very tough sell. Well, this one was one situation where all my PR training really came into play. When I interviewed her further with some probing questions, she mentioned that sometimes she taught her singing lessons with a pot-bellied pig sitting on her lap to help relax her students. Just picturing this unique teaching technique really intrigued me, and I found myself grinning with delight. Perhaps we had something here after all. But how was I going to capitalize on this new knowledge to help promote her? Again, I thought about it for a while, and I had some more discussions with my client. Through the course of our conversation, an idea was born. Why don't we make use of her pig? It was decided that in order to grab the attention of both the media and the public, we'd have to get a bit more creative. So we came up with a plan. Since many motorists in the Los Angeles area are very stressed out during their morning commute, why don't we have them tune in to a particular radio station and sing along with the pig? Sounds too weird and silly? Well, the producers at KFI AM's then popular morning drive radio show, TNT in the Morning, didn't think so. Through a clever press release, some very good media relations, and telephone skills, I was able to persuade the folks in charge of the program to put my client and her pig on the air. The plan was for her to arrive early to the studio with the pig and have him sit on her lap, just as she does during her singing lessons. The station really had a lot of fun preparing for this novelty act, and the traffic reporter flying the helicopter even gave the segment some promos. Since I'm a big Beatles fan, we decided that the pig and the teacher would lead the drivers in a selection of Beatles tunes. You know, songs that fit the context, such as Drive My Car, Ticket to Ride, and Help. Everything was all set up and ready to go, but the night before, another Beatles tune, I realized that the teacher didn't have a name for her pig. What was she going to call him? At the very last minute, she decided on Caruso, in honor of the opera legend. When I arrived at the studio early on the morning of the event, I found myself chasing after the pig as it ran down the long corridors. Never in my wildest imagination did I ever think, with all my college and on-the-job training, I'd ever be doing something like this. In any case, the event went off without a hitch and was very successful. Caruso oinked at all the right parts on cue and was richly rewarded with some sweet and chewy milk duds, his all-time favorite food, I was told. My client got to mention her number several times, and she was even able to offer free voice lessons to some of the listeners. But we didn't stop there. Instead, I decided to get a little more mileage out of it. Afterward, I dashed off a press release and sent it through the wire services. To my delight, the story ran in Steve Harvey's Only in L.A. column in the Los Angeles Times, which read, Traffic Ham. A creature named Caruso the Pig appeared on radio station KFI TNT in the Morning show as part of what was billed as the first ever commuter sing-along. Motorists were invited to call in on their phones and release their aggressions by singing with the oinking Caruso and the in-studio crew. A PR Newswire release noted, by the way, that the pig was named after opera great, spelled G-R-A-T-E, Enrico Caruso. Funny, we always heard he had a pretty good voice. We continued the campaign in various formats at additional radio stations. The listeners were able to use their imaginations as opposed to viewing the pig on television. My client was quite pleased with the success of this PR campaign. So as you can see, the development of a good PR angle or hook to help sell your client product or service is very vital indeed.
So with the hook, is that something that usually they come to you with, or do you try to help develop that if they don't have something available?
Well, that's the actual job of the PR person. That's partly why a client would want to hire a professional PR person. It's their the PR specialist's job to say, you know what, let me take a look at your product, your service, your cause, your book, you name it, and it's up to me to come up with something that would help sell the message of that. And in a case like the one that I just read from the book, this was a singing teacher where, you know, there's quite a lot of singing teachers out there. So we had to come up with something clever and creative so that it would make her voice lessons stand out. Okay. And from past experience and doing PR for many, many years, I kind of find that there's pretty much an angle in everything. But again, that is partly the expertise that a client is going to hire a PR specialist to come up with.
Have you done any more animal shows or anything like that or any other?
any more animal time? Shows?
Yeah, kind of like you had clients come up with that kind of a hook or...
a lot of times, like, you know, it depends. Sometimes a client might have a goal, let's say, for better name recognition about their product or service or company. Other times, they may want to make more money for their company or what have you. You know, other times it might just be bringing attention on someone's cause and getting a message out there about something on a public service campaign level or something. Each case is kind of different from the next. Mm-hmm. And so what a good PR person would do is really ask these vital questions of a client and analyze and figure out, you know, what their goals are, who their audience is, what the time frame they have in mind, and with, you know, what you have in mind. One other way to get a good angle or a hook for someone is to tie the message into maybe a holiday theme or something newsworthy or making headlines. You know, you can kind of piggyback on that to, for example, I know we talked a little bit earlier about the politics.
Right.
Well, very recently I saw a cable TV show, and they were zeroing in on the psychological aspects of the candidates for the office of presidency. And very, you know, that's a little bit unusual because usually these political programs are just talking about straight politics. But in this particular case, they wanted to zero in more on the temperament of the candidates and the psychological aspects and various things. So in a case like that, that's a good angle or a hook where if you have a client that's a psychotherapist, a mental health professional, psychologist, psychiatrist, you know, you could pitch or see if you could fit your client into the topic that they're covering and actually get your client on a political show, let's say, not a straight psychology show. But there's where an angle that's making news, you could bring your person in as an expert.
Okay. We've been talking about politics a little bit. We've been talking about celebrities, specifically sports celebrities, and talking about Twitter and everything that's out there. This popped in my head. I'm just wondering, is the PR a little bit of a reactive profession now because something's been put out there and it's like, oh, now we got to go clean it up?
Well, that's another really good question, Richard. Sometimes it can be reactive and sometimes it's more proactive, but there's an actual aspect of public relations that deals in something called crisis communications. And sometimes you might find in a PR career that your client is involved in controversial issues or something with a scandal, or the client may be above board and everything is going great, and then all of a sudden some brouhaha happens about their product or service or about their reputation. So there's a whole area of ethics and reputation management, crisis communication, as I say. And there are some public relations firms out there that actually just specialize in crisis PR. And they come up with a crisis public relations plan in the same way that you might see a utility company or some company come up with a plan in case of a fire, an accident, or an emergency.
And we kind of even had a TV series scandal kind of based around that to a degree.
If I remember right, and I don't know if you've seen the show or not, Rhonda, the first couple seasons of Scandal were, I think, pretty much around that. She was the main character of Olivia Pope was, I think, pretty much just handled, I mean, scandals. I mean, people that found themselves into rough spots and they needed a PR firm. And is that accurate?
Yes, that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. And see, with public relations, it wears a whole bunch of many hats. It's not just one thing. So earlier when your question had to do with, you know, has maybe social media phased it out? Well, yes and no, because there's so many aspects to public relations, as we're saying right now about crisis PR and things like that, that you still need experts, specialists, and people that can help get your message out in the best possible way to the media to get attention on your cause. Or sometimes there are PR people hired especially to keep the press away. Like, you know, if you have a celebrity client or something like that and they're making the news, and there are actual PR publicists that really, you know, take the bullet for the client and don't want the client in the press.
Okay.
Okay. So, and I mean, and because I guess, you know, bringing, I guess we'll circle back to politics a little bit. I mean, that's basically kind of what, and then, you know, an entire communications department is that's basically what they do, is they handle the PR, I guess you could say, internally. You know, most congressional offices and even, you know, the White House has a communications department, a communications director, the press secretary. I mean, they're the ones that go out and have to either justify or walk back things that they're
not sure about that. Let me check.
That their candidate has either said or.
Well, you know, that's kind of an aspect of public relations. Communications is extremely important, and when you have a candidate or you have somebody that's been in office for a long time, and there's a lot of dissension or trouble in paradise, so to speak, you need to have a spokesperson. And oftentimes a PR person will wear the hat of being the spokesperson. And on press conferences, you often see the communication director, the public affairs officer, or the PR guy get out there and talk to the press and help with damage control.
Well, yeah, and I guess, you know, I think we've talked about Trump once before. We can talk about him again because, I mean...
Just be careful, he'll sue you.
That's true. You know, when he says something, you know, that sends the, I guess you could call the Democrats and most of the media just up in arms, like,
right.
Like I want to make sure that we ban all Muslims from entering the country if they aren't U.S. citizens.
Right.
Would that, just for instance, let's say you're running his communications, his PR department, would it be your job to make sure that they get called surrogates, show up on all the talk shows for the next 24 hours?
That's exactly what has been happening. I've been very fascinated with this current 2016 election on both ends of the coin. You know, it's a real good case study in communication and PR and intrigue, and we've never really seen anything quite like this particular campaign, whatever side you're on. And so I've been like a news junkie watching a lot of these programs, and I often see that, you know, each of these camps, Democrat, Republican, Independent, you name it, they do have a lot of spokespeople that they kind of brief the people and they form pretty much a consensus as to how they're going to handle the situation and talk to the talk show hosts and things, and they sometimes get it right, and other times they don't quite get it right. But if you notice, since the Republican convention, Trump got a bit of a boost, and then after the Democrat convention, Hillary got a boost, which is kind of to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
But what people didn't expect is what happened immediately after the Democratic convention. It appears as if Hillary really got another big boost because of the way things were handled or not handled by the Trump campaign, where he's kind of at the top of that. And so a lot of his own party was cautioning him about how to stay better on message rather than go after the Khan family with the Gold Star family and things like that. So, but if you can see, the polls absolutely seem to reflect the way that the communication is handled here.
Right. And is that more of a Donald Trump just not listening to his community? Because I can't imagine that any person that has any experience in PR is going to let him, first, he attacks him. There's not a lot you could, there's not a lot you can do if he just does it off the cuff. But then to come back and double down and triple down on attacking the Gold Star family and having,
Well, from, I think any PR person, company, group would have a tough time if you have a client or a candidate or a business person that you're representing, and if they don't listen to what you want them to do, that becomes a challenge. It really does. And I mention a little something like this in my book, where I talk about oftentimes a public relations person might find themselves in a bit of a tug of war between what the client wants, what the media want and require, and being the PR person, which side do you listen to? Do you listen to your client who's paying your bills, or do you listen to the media that can make or break you and have a long memory? So you have to weigh out. Sometimes what I'm trying to say in a nutshell is a public relations person oftentimes finds themselves directly in the middle between two opposing opinions like that. And it's been my experience over the years that even though a client is paying for the time, for the coverage, and for my time and things like that, if I have to make a decision between which side would I side with more, or it's a tough one, but I would have to say I would probably go with the side of the media over the client, because clients can come and go, but you'd never want to burn your contacts with the media, and you don't want to do what they call a bait and switch. And that is that if you promise a spokesperson or a company representative to be on an interview, for example, with the media, you don't want to land that interview and at the last minute switch that person with someone else.
Right.
You want to give them what you promised to give them, because you can't start burning your contacts with the media.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that you disrespect the client by never listening to what the client wants either, but there is always that delicate balance and a fine line. And so to answer your original question, if you find yourself in a like the Donald Trump case, I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to guess that perhaps this is a situation where the client, let's say Donald Trump, probably hasn't listened to the advice of the experts on the communication and PR side of things. And so, there you have it, a little bit of a conflict there.
And don't you find it with people that are better established or been in the business, that's a little bit harder to do than with people just coming in, because they're going to be in the mindset that I know what I'm doing now, or not necessarily they do.
Well, actually, Richard, I think what I find more often than not is it boils down to the personality characteristics of who you're dealing with over how much experience and time they've had at the job. I mean, it's possible that would weigh out too, but I think there are certain personality types that no matter what you do, they don't want to listen to you. And I think there are other personality types that might be more amenable to say, well, you're kind of the expert. What do you think?
Okay.
But I think with all this instant polling, at least whatever way the ball bounces with the Trump campaign or the Clinton campaign or any other kind of campaign, there's all this instant information that people can find out about pretty quick to see whether or not they made the right call.
Right. No, that makes sense. And I guess a kind of a follow-up point. When I was in school, our teacher would always advise us, you're talking about not burning bridges with the media, is he'd always advise us, if you're ever in a campaign, do not go to war with people that buy ink by the barrel. So, I mean, because the media has a very long memory, and they can be, I don't want to call them vindictive in case I ever need the media to help me on anything, but they can be, they don't have a problem not picking up the phone for you, I guess is the best way to put it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, in public relations, a lot of times people assume that if somebody like myself, for example, has been in the business a long time, well, I must have a whole slew of contacts in the media, and I could just pick up a telephone and call a contact and guarantee something. Well, it doesn't always work like that, because even if I've just gone out to dinner with a contact, let's say, they still want to make sure that what I'm pitching them is appropriate and right for their particular audience. And they may like me personally, but it doesn't guarantee that they're going to put my client on the air. It has to match their audience and what kind of thing they're looking for.
We've been visiting with Rhonda Reese. We've been having a fun time, and we're going to continue on in the second part of this interview because we're running close on time. We've been talking about her experiences with the public relations field and her book, Profit and Prosper with Public Relations, Insider Secrets to Make You a Success. And you can find that on Amazon. She said it's available as an ebook as well for all you people that love your digital devices. We've been talking about that a little bit in this interview as well. You can keep up with her on RhondaRees.com. Is there any other place that they can keep up with you, Rhonda, on the
The best place to keep up with me is www.RhondaReesePR.com, and that's RhondaReese, like Sam, PR.com.
Okay. So.
And I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn.
Okay. I'm on a few of those. I'm still kind of one of the old schools. I'm still branching out a little bit. Probably to Jacob's chagrin. He's over here grinning at me. He's like, no, you're not. No. But, well, Rhonda, we appreciate you coming on again tonight. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you both very much. I very much enjoyed it.
We've been having fun. We hope everybody out there has been having fun. And we'll be back in a little bit with our second part. So stay tuned. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Stop me on the corner. Swear you hit me like a vision. I wasn't expecting. Who am I to tell fate where it's supposed to go with it? Don't you blink, you might miss it. See, we got a right to just love it or leave it. You find it and keep it, cause it ain't every day you get the chance to say, oh, this is how it starts. Lightning strikes the heart. I've never seen it, but I found this love, I'm gonna feed it. You better believe I'm gonna treat it better than anything I've ever had, cause you're so damn beautiful.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.